The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to Sports Day WA, wherever you may be listening around WA. Peter Vlahos with you. It's all thanks to our friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA. And we did have, as we know, the Vice President of Country Football WA, Andrew Lockyer, on the program last night, talking about the drop-off in Indigenous players and maybe young Indigenous players taking up the game of Australian rules football. It was a fascinating interview last night. Well, we've got a great program, and I hope you can stay with us between now and 6 o'clock. You can join us anytime on the text machine 0487 736 736. So we're going to speak to the gentleman who actually was very much involved in the most unique piece of football action from many, many years ago, where he kicked the ball. It was a brilliant pass. It was supposed to be intended for a teammate, but the umpire got in the way. Remember this?
The outer side, maybe had the line in mind. Didn't get the bounce he needed, though. Fletcher, the centering kick. And the mark has been taken by umpire Carey.
That is
I've never seen that.
He actually thought he was a player.
Yeah.
There's no doubt
he had
a vision.
Carey by nature.
So we're going to speak to Adrian Fletcher, the former Fremantle Dockers star. He was a captain and he won their very first ever Glendenning Allan Medal. So we're going to speak to Adrian Fletcher in just a little while here on Sports Day WA. Of course, he's got a young fella, Jasper Fletcher, who's currently involved with the Brisbane Football Club. Later on, in what is a first-time exclusive, we'll be speaking to Ross Peligra. He is the owner of the Perth Glory. He's the chairman of the Peligra Group, the group that owns the Perth Glory. A lot has been said about their debacle at the weekend. I believe Ross flew in from overseas and a couple of his very close confidants came with him to the game and they saw Melbourne City put 8 in the net against the Perth Glory. And today, the Glory, the chairman, the board and management have sent out an apology to the fans and everybody involved with the Perth Glory on the back end of that performance. It says, losing games is part of competitive sport, but the nature of our defeat on the weekend was embarrassing and completely unacceptable, and we share the pain and disappointment that everyone associated with our club is feeling. Despite the many challenges that the club has faced this season, the team has always shown great fighting spirit. This was not the case on Sunday. And it went on to say that there will be a full review of the club's football operation that will be undertaken at the end of the season. And they're urging, certainly the fans, the members and everybody, to get along to see the response from the Perth Glory against Western United at HBF Park on Sunday. So we'll speak to Ross exclusively here on Sports Day WA a little bit later on in the program. All right, we're going to speak, as I said, in a moment to Adrian Fletcher, but for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil, the Harley Show was on show again today. As we know, he won the Rising Star nominee for round 5, and at the moment, he's the $2 favourite to take out the AFL Rising Star for season 2024. And firstly, Harley spoke about the weekend and the fact that he was pretty happy the way things turned out.
Yeah, obviously, I'm pretty happy to snag the win on the weekend. Obviously, a great day for the club. Waffle having the win too, as long and alongside as us, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm so happy to finally be on that winner's board this year, and I feel last couple of weeks we've been able to express the way we wanted to play and collaborate as a group and across all three lines. So I think hopefully we can keep that winning list going.
Yeah, and he also went on to talk about his goal celebration.
To me, it was more the that grab the jumper to show that we're here to play, and as a whole, we're not waiting to rebuild. It's now we're wanting to make an impact on the league right now and try build this group from the get-go, and we're not waiting. I think that was the moment in time for me to show that we're doing it for the fans, and we're here to do it now.
And finally, he also spoke about his thoughts on this season.
Oh, I honestly don't see why we can't. Obviously, top eight's a bit of a stretch, but I feel we can win a couple games and get back on the right path to have a crack in next year. And I think this year's something we're all going to learn from. And you look at our list, honestly, like from young to old, there's a big gap in that in-between mark. But I feel from experience, we've got some great players still running around and doing their bit. And yeah, I think you look at the likes of Yo, Gov, TK, TB, like Yo's playing some best footy that he has in a while. So it's pretty exciting. And for us young pups to go in there and learn off them is pretty exciting. I feel if we keep putting that right foot forward, I think we can, it's going to be a bit exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And no doubt the crowd is certainly on with Harley Reid at the moment. And I must admit, I was talking to Paul Hazelby and Damian Martin just before the run home. It's been a huge marketing exercise. As we know, merchandise is a very important aspect of any sporting club. What they get in the store and the amount of merchandise they can turn over is money in the coffers. And with the retirement of Nick Natanui, who from a merchandise point of view was a gold mine for the West Coast Eagles, they needed someone to step up. And I think in conjunction now with the West Australian, there's no doubt there would have been a get together of the West Coast Eagles and Seven West Media to try and pump this kid up, being the number one draft pick, and to market him to the bejeebies. In other words, get him out there as much as possible, and let the fans gravitate to him, and let the fans then all of a sudden continue purchasing the number 9 jumper from the team store or anything to do with Harley Reid. It's all part of a marketing campaign because, as we know, merchandise and the sale of merchandise is so important these days, and they would have seen a dip with Nick Natanui retiring, and now they're hoping that Harley Reid can continue that. All right, I'm looking forward to this chat. He was an outstanding footballer in his time. Started off at Geelong in the late 1980s, then ended up at St Kilda in the early 90s. Spent a few seasons at the Brisbane Bears before they came the Brisbane Lions. So he was a Bear and he was also a Lion. Then he decided to come to this side of the country and played 79 games with the Fremantle Football Club. He was the co-captain for a couple of seasons and was the fairest and best. Took out the Doig medal in 1999. We're speaking about Adrian Fletcher, and he joins us from Brisbane right now. Adrian, thanks for your time.
How are you? No, it was a good way to see Australia.
And, of course, you originated from Tasmania. I think your first club may have been Glenorchy, so you've been almost to every state.
I have. As I said, it was pack the Commodore up, get on the boat and see Australia, and then I've ended up staying in Queensland with the sunshine.
Although I must admit, we would challenge you. I was up in Queensland a couple of weeks ago, there was a bit of rain about. Well, here in Perth, I don't think we've seen a drop of rain for a long, long time. Can I ask you what it meant to you, being a boy, a young fella growing up in Tasmania, what it meant when the announcement came that Tasmania will be in the AFL in a few years' time?
Oh, look, it was quite emotional, actually, because I know the history down there, obviously all the greats, Peter Hudson, Royce Hart, that's who we idled as when we were growing up. We used to watch the winners on a Saturday night after playing football on Saturday, and that's all we used to do as a kid. And I actually joined up to be a member of the Devils. I put my $10, a big $10, but they got 150,000 members already, which is, it's amazing. It's amazing. And hopefully they can get the stadium up and going, and I know that it's in the right location, so it'll be amazing when they get it going.
You said you got a bit emotional when Tasmania were announced in the AFL. How emotional were you when your young fella, who's 20 years of age, Jasper, made his AFL debut for the Brisbane Lions, one of your former clubs? I think it was round 14 last season against the Sydney Swans at the Gabba, and he kicked a goal on his debut. What were mum and dad like when that happened?
We're up and about. It's a journey, you know. You have your own journey in your football career, but the journey with your children from, you know, when they're born, playing in the backyard and then wrestling and just to see that journey close up, and then when he gets an opportunity to run out with the same team that you run out, it was emotional. And, you know, we know there's no guarantees in the AFL, but you know, if you put the hard work in, you give yourself an opportunity, and he did that, and it was just it was good to see.
It's interesting. Jason Dunstall was elevated to legend status yesterday in the AFL Hall of Fame, and of course he came from Cooperoo, and I believe that young Jasper played his junior footy there.
You're on the money. He did. He went there tonight and did a clinic, and there was more kids there than they've ever had. So it's good to give back to community footy, and you've got to be humble, and you know where you start, and give back as much as you can. And he went there tonight and took training, and I think they loved it. It's a great opportunity for him.
I'll play this audio again. I played it at the top of my program when you were playing for Fremantle. It was Subiaco Oval. I think you were playing St Kilda. It was very, very early in the game. I think the Saints had kicked two goals and the Dockers won, and then this happened.
The outer side, maybe had the line in mind. Didn't get the bounce he needed though. Fletcher, the centering kick. And the mark has been taken by umpire Carey.
That is, I've never seen that.
I have never ever seen that.
He actually thought he was a player then.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
he had a vision.
Carey by nature. Carey by nature.
So Adrian, you're in footy folklore because of that. Do you recall it?
I do recall it. I ended up flying over there about 3 years ago, and we did an ad on it, reenacted the kick. But I remember Brad Weir's face. It was going lace out towards him, and Peter Carey slipped inside him, and he hadn't had a possession in the first quarter, and he was spewing. He wanted to tackle Peter Carey. So it's one of those ones that got me in the trivia question. So I'm there forever.
You're very popular at Fremantle. You were there when things weren't exactly going right, languishing towards the foot of the AFL ladder for the years that you were there. But you won the hearts of the Fremantle Dockers faithful. You were the player to win the first ever Glendinning Allen Medal for the Fremantle Football Club. Take us back to that derby.
Yeah, no, it was one of those games where we probably didn't have a great season, but you always have a chance to express yourself against the West Coast Eagles. It was very similar to a final every time we played them. We know it's a two-team town. And we just had a game plan that we knocked the ball into the corridor at stoppages, and we had Modra up front, and Modra kicked five, and it was just one of those days you just remember forever, because we just seen the joy of the Fremantle people the first time we ever beat them. And it was an amazing night. I think we went down back to Freo, and there was people everywhere hanging out of cars. We felt like movie stars for about 6 hours, but that was probably the most enjoyable I've ever had playing a game over there at Subiaco.
You certainly were an outstanding footballer, as I mentioned. You were first and best in 1999, which was probably your best season. But, of course, I think in 2000, Damien Drum may have been the coach, and he only won two games. We have seen that with the West Coast Eagles in the last couple of years. What was it like down at Fremantle when wins were so hard to come by?
Oh, look, if you know how far you've got to travel to go and play games on the eastern states, and then you have to jump back on the plane and put your tail between your legs and go back home, it wasn't much fun. But we had some really good kids in Holland, Sinclair. There were some really good kids coming through the clubs, and Hazelbury and Pavlich. So you just put your hope in those kids, and you just wanted to show the way. Every time you pulled that jumper on, you just wanted to play at a high standard, so those kids understood, you know, what AFL was about. And we tried to do that. Sometimes, you know, as a senior player, that we weren't going to win on the day, but you always put your heart on your sleeve and made sure you put the club first.
You co-captained the club for a couple of years with Sean McManus. How did that go?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was probably the older statesman. Sean, he was one of the legends. He played at East Fremantle, and then he moved into the club, and he was well loved. And we did well in a losing year. We tried to motivate. We tried to lead by example on game day, and we probably thought that was the best way we could be leaders at the club.
And what were your early thoughts of Fremantle? Because they only came into the competition in 1995, and certainly the first few years were pretty rocky. You look back now at where they are in 2024, still no premiership, but they've got to a grand final. What are your thoughts on the evolution of the team in purple?
I really enjoy watching them on TV. I think they're playing a good brand. I know I play with Justin. I think he's a great coach. You know, they've got some really good young players, and I think they're playing a brand that can stand up in finals. They're playing contested brand. Sarong and Brayshaw around the middle, and I know they've got some injuries this year, but they're just looking good stead, and the foundation's there for them to really take off and have some successful years in front of them.
And your general perception of derbies, because we've got another one coming up here on Saturday night. We've seen the West Coast win their first game of the year, which makes it a bit more appealing. It is a West Coast home derby. But what are your thoughts on the derbies? You said it was a special game. Can I ask you, even though players that currently play say it's just another game, it never was it, Adrian?
There was never another game. It's to pump your chest out walking down the street on a Sunday or Monday after winning on the Saturday or Sunday night, whenever it is. It just makes you feel good around the town. We know that it's a two-team town, and there's either they barrack for the Fremantle or they barrack for West Coast. And I used to put it to it. I played in finals and it was as good as a final, the atmosphere going, running out in the ground, and the lead into those games. They were tribal. As we know, tribal is the best football you'll ever play.
You made the number two famous for 4 years when you were at Fremantle. You played 21 games in 2001. Were you surprised that you were let go by the Fremantle Football Club? Did you believe you had a bit more football in you?
Oh, you always believe, don't you? That's what we've made up. I always believed I could have played on for a couple more years, but I just knew that, if you was a coach and you had a young player in Hazelby playing in the middle and had an old player of Fletcher at 30, you've got to hand the baton over, and that's what I did. I handed the baton over, and those boys played in the grand final, so it was the right choice. Hard as it is, That's just the nature of AFL footy. You've got to make sure you let the talent come through. And I had my time there, and my time was up.
I tell you what, Jasper's got some pretty good pedigree, hasn't he? Because you're an outstanding AFL footballer, as we mentioned. You played well over 200 games. In fact, I'll just check, 231 all up. And Mum was okay, Narelle. She was an absolute star in the Women's National Basketball League as well. I think she played nearly 300 games. So the pedigree's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty lucky in that hand-to-eye coordination. He's got Mum's. He's got my look, so that's the most important thing. No, I think he's got his Mum's look, so I think he's done okay.
I know it's very difficult. I know you spent some time as an assistant coach at Brisbane. Do you still help around the Lions, or you now distance yourself because Jasper's there?
Yeah, no, I try and just be a supporter now. I'm a mad supporter. It sits up in level 3. I can't get down there to level 1 anymore. They won't let me down that close to the game. But sometimes you just sit up there and you'd wish that you were sitting in the coach's box. But, I'll stick to being a supporter and just support him on weekends. And during the week, I get to watch talk and watch 360 and the couch. I get to do that now, not at training.
Mm. Oh, well, mate, you seem like you haven't lost any of your humbleness. We got to know that in the 4 years that you're here at the Fremantle Football Club. The times were tough, but I know you always held your head up high. You co-captained the side for a couple of years, and you're a real leader when things were a bit tough, certainly under the coaching tutelage of Damien Drum. Thanks for joining us, Adrian. I know a lot of people, a lot of Docker supporters would have loved to have heard from you, like they have done this afternoon, and see where you're at. And pass on our best to Jasper. Let's hope he has a long, prosperous career like his old man had.
Thanks for the opportunity, and good luck to the Derby. Is it Saturday night?
It's Saturday night at 6:10 Western Standard Time. So it's 8:10 over there in Brisbane. Sit down and enjoy it. Should be a decent game.
I think it will. I think it's always close.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Adrian Fletcher joining us. I enjoyed the chat, as we mentioned. He was the very first Fremantle Dockers player to win the Glendenning Allan Medal, and certainly was a very important part of Fremantle's heritage, particularly in those early years. 5:20, you're with Peter Vlahos. This is Sports Day WA. Come and join us anytime on the text machine 0487 736 736 or the Scarborough Toyota open line 13 12 55.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolman, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yes, great to have a chat to Adrian Fletcher. I hope you enjoyed that. You can join us on the text machine 0487 736 736. Ben from Frio says, Fletch, what a great man. Frio faithful, forever grateful. And what a gentleman, and no bitterness to the club, etc. No wonder his boys sees such a quality young man. Thanks, Fletch. Love you. That's Ben from Frio. No, he spoke very well. And as we mentioned, after the 2001 season, had played 21 games and they gave him the chop. And his AFL career came to a grinding halt. He went to play a bit of footy in Victoria after the Dockers let him go. I think he played in the VFL for Williamstown for a couple of years before heading back home. Hi, Pete. Is there any news regarding Jai Cully's return to playing? That's Tony of Vic Park. I'll chase that up for you, Tony, and we'll get some information on that before the program is out. Before we speak to Ross Peligra, the owner and chairman of the Perth Glory, about the schmozzle that was at the weekend and where they stand at the moment after their 8-0 loss to the Melbourne City, I must admire surfing legend Kelly Slater. Now, the American professional surfer, who's been crowned the World Surf League champion a record 11 times, is widely regarded as the greatest professional surfer of all time. He's the best ever to put a surfboard into the water and contest on the world stage, the World Surf League. He holds something like 56 championship tour victories. He's also the oldest surfer still active on the World Surf League, and he is at the moment the age of 52. He's down there at Margaret River and the Margaret River Masters. He's just been unfortunately knocked out. He was beaten by world number one Griffin Colapinto in the small surf at Margaret River. And he got a bit emotional after the event was over for him. Here's Kelly Slater.
Personal message to your family and friends tuning in online?
It's just so much emotion for so long, you know, so much dedication. And, you know, it's not all roses, you know. But it's been the best times of my life, and I know my family's at home watching and love you guys. Couldn't quite pull a miracle off this week, but you know, I pulled a few off over the years, and I still had that hope out there. You know, I was like, oh, one might pop up with a minute to go. So, but to lose to the number one, you know, Griff's the number one guy, and I've been close friends with Griff for a long time. So I'm kind of avoiding that emotion because it's all right there bubbling up. But it hit me at sunset this year.
So there you go. Kelly Slater posts potentially his last pro surfing event down there at Margaret River. He's one of those guys that certainly inspire you, and I think he's inspired a new generation of surfer. There's no question about that. He's done all right, let me tell you, in other areas. He dated Pamela Anderson for a few years in the early 90s, and then, of course, he met her on Baywatch, had a relationship with Gisele Bündchen, who, as we know, was the wife of Tom Brady, the star quarterback there in the NFL. And even Cameron Diaz was his partner for a little while as well. But he was an outstanding surfer. Whether we've seen the last of Kelly Slater remains to be seen. But certainly the best ever to contest the World Surf League. And he's still doing it at 52 years of age. As I mentioned at the top of the program, today, on behalf of the chairman, the board and the management, they sent out an apology for Sunday's performance, that is the Perth Glory, in what transpired against Melbourne City. And just quoting a couple of aspects of that release, losing games is a part of competitive sport, but the nature of our defeat on the weekend was embarrassing and completely unacceptable, and we share the pain and disappointment that everybody associated with our club is feeling. And there's been a lot of talk about the Perth Glory. They head into their final home game at HBF Park this weekend on Sunday against Western United. I know that it's been stated in the statement, a full review of the club's football operations will be undertaken at the end of the season as we look to re-establish a reconnected, sustainable and highly successful Perth Glory as per the vision of articulated by owner and chairman Ross Pellegra. And Ross has been kind enough to join us on the program now. Ross, thanks for your time.
Good evening, Peter. How's it going?
I'm very well. How are you going? I know you flew in from overseas and you had a couple of close confidants there to view the game between Melbourne City and the Perth Glory. And we know what the result was like. It must have been, as you stated in the statement, very disappointing and something you probably didn't expect.
I was totally fuming. There's no words to describe the emotions I had at the time watching the game. I just couldn't believe. I thought I was jet lagged, not actually understanding where I was at the minute. It was just really, really disappointing the way the game was conducted. It was just as the chairman, you know, it sits on my watch effectively, and you know, I take full responsibility of what happened on the night. It's not acceptable.
Saying that, you've inherited a club that's got players, that's got coaches, that's got support staff. After all, you've only been the owner chairman for a short period of time. I know that now, even on the back end, regardless of what the result was against Melbourne City, you're pretty aggressive to turn things around pretty quickly, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we've done that with other clubs, and we'll be doing the same here. At the time when we took over the club, we knew that the club already had been set up and was running in a certain manner, and there was a lot of building within the club to be made, and we understood that, and we're planning and bringing on Stan, you know, with the knowledge that he has, and being a football person pretty much all his life, he knew that experience would help on the ground. Also, the guys in Italy, the Chens and the team, you know, been analysing the last couple of days. They couldn't believe the results themselves, and we're going to make changes. You know, what's important is that what we the culture that we're going to be bringing into the club is going to represent the city. It's going to represent what people in Perth and the community believe in, and that's what we will be doing for next season.
When you saw that result at the weekend, Ross, and sorry to harp on it, but we'll move on very quickly, did you ever have a thought in your mind, what have I done in taking over this club?
Or, no.
You've never had any second thoughts?
Look, when I see failure that's happened, it's a learning exercise for me that we don't get back in that situation again. You know, I don't have any regrets in buying the club, and nor am I packing up shop and leaving. I'm there to stay. I'm there to be part of the community, to make sure that this club is going to represent Perth Glory for its for what it stands for, what it means, and I'm not giving up. I'm a big fighter. There's a big fight within me that won't let go. And, you know, even while I was watching the game, I was still, you know, watching with the fight in within me that, you know, I wanted things to change and move. You know, but there was a few changes that happened in the second part of the game, which, you know, probably having a bit more time there, we probably could have had a few goals scored. But, you know what I mean, it's all about rebuilding, and that's what I'll be doing. I'm working with the team to make sure that we get there. So, you know, come straight after the season, you know, we'll be doing a lot of analytical work to figure out what we do next with the team and how we approach the next season.
As I mentioned, you and the club management sent out a statement today just apologising to the fans, because there's a lot of fans there that have been through thick and thin with the Perth Glory. They do take on Western United at HBF Park on Sunday, and no doubt you're appealing to the fans that have been there predominantly for the whole season to turn up, because judging from the statement, you expect a strong response from Alan Stajic and also his players this Sunday.
Yeah, well, we need to support the team that's there now. We need to show, as you know, myself as the owner, that's why I'm flying over, and also the community that we're behind the team. You know, we're resilient to failure. We're not going to accept failure on the cheek. We're going to go in hard. And, you know, obviously, we don't want to stay on the bottom of the ladder. We need to make a jump. Obviously, I know the chairman of our competition, and obviously it's going to be a pretty competitive game, and we're going to show that we can come out of this.
Ross, a lot of people talk about rebuild in the AFL. I think you follow Geelong in the other code, but in the AFL, the West Coast Eagles are a big product here in Perth, and they're in the throes of a rebuild at the moment. They're saying it could take 2, 3, 4, 5 years. How quick are you hoping to turn the fortunes of the Perth Glory around if we are considering a rebuild here?
Look, yeah, and if you follow what we've done in Italy, where we bought a club from zero, and we did do a 90, pretty much a 180 degree turn, and, you know, we won a cup. It wasn't like it was actually a lot of strategic work. There was a lot of, you know, we studied our opposition teams. We made sure that we had the right people in every place and the right training for every player. So then we could be competitive. You know, we started the season also this year in Catania where, you know, we had some failure games, and we've turned it around. It's just not giving up, just, you know, working hard, understanding what we need to do to be competitive, and how we can. So, in football, you know, you can spend the most money on players, you can have, but if it's not strategically set with and in line with also with the community, plays a big part in what you do. So, not humbling off your question of how long will it take. Well, I want to be back in the top of the ladder, you know, fairly quickly next season. But we need to make sure that the team is going to be, you know, our players are going to be working to that same methodology that we're going to be chasing, making sure that we become winners again, feel like champions again, and get there.
Yeah. So,
if you ask, I wanted it done. This year I wanted to be in the playoffs, but unfortunately we couldn't make it. But next year, I'm not going to accept failure.
Well, that's a strong statement. You're not going to accept failure. And I think if one of your certainly recruits, the director of football, Stan Lazaridis, is going to be a very important person in the off season in relation to eyeing talent and potentially bolstering the squad. How big a task has Stan in front of him in the off-season before the next season rolls around?
going to be pretty busy. It's going to be the next 2-3 months. It's going to be a lot of work between himself and the coach, and obviously even Vincenzo Grella, which is he's planning to come down very soon, working with him. So I don't see he's going to have much free time outside of football, because he's going to be working pretty hard to get that achievement that we need to. It's a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of work.
Ross, thank you very much. No doubt you've just mentioned you'll be coming over for the game on Sunday, and let's hope it's a better show. I'm sure it will. It's a very proud club, and that's one of the reasons you invested in getting involved with the Perth Glory. Things can turn around, as we've seen. You go on.
Yeah, my faith in the club is there, but it's also that the community is behind me. We're going to stand together strong, and we're going to not take defeat on the cheek that easily. So we're going to work together with the community and the fans to make sure that we get out of this pretty quickly.
Yeah, I like it. Ross, thanks for joining us there in Melbourne. We look forward to seeing you at the football on Sunday.
Thank you.
Good on you. Ross Pellegra there, the owner and now chairman of the Perth Glory, in an interview here on SENWA's Sports Day WA. He's an impatient man. I think he wants to turn things around pretty quickly. Interesting, you can judge from the way he spoke there. We're going to take a break, come back with more in a moment. This is Sports Day WA.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolman, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yes, opinions that inspire, and everybody's been inspired by Kelly Slater. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And we've also got an extra text from Ben here saying, add that Slater won the Pipeline Masters in 2022, age 50. Youngest man to win a world title, and the oldest, says it all. The greatest of all time. Change the sport forever. And as we mentioned, bowed out of the Margaret River Pro earlier today at the age of 52. Will it be his final professional event? We'll have to wait and see. Let's look now for Tyre Power's Power Up sale. It's on now with the latest sports headlines. And here's an interesting one regarding AFL, is that Charlie Cameron, as we know, went to the tribunal, and despite rejecting the Lions' push to have the impact of Charlie Cameron's tackle on Melbourne's Jake Lever downgraded from medium to low, the tribunal tonight has found exceptional and compelling circumstances to remove the one-week ban. So Charlie is now free to play this weekend after being handed a one-week suspension. And a lot of people just shaking their heads from side to side, wondering what the hell is going on, particularly as we saw the incident the other night, those two incidents that saw one player rubbed out for 1 week and the other player exonerated. All right, in other news from the AFL today, Collingwood Premiership defender Nathan Murphy has retired from the game on the advice of doctors due to his ongoing concussion issues. He's had 10 concussions, the 24-year-old. He told his teammates of the decision this morning before the club went on to issue a press release. This is Nathan Murphy on his decision to retire, coming from the Collingwood website.
Yeah, so I'm here today to announce my retirement from AFL football after consulting with a lot of health professionals and the people around me who mean the most to me. I think this is the best decision for me right now and going forward in my future. So, yeah, all I can think about right now is how amazing and positive this experience has been for me. The club has been amazing. My family and I have been so appreciative and grateful of what they've done for me. We talk a lot about putting the player first and athletes second, and it's just really nice to know that we're actually living it at this club, and I've made some friends along the way who I'll be best mates with for the rest of my life. I've lived out my childhood dream, and I've got a premiership to share with 40-odd other people and staff as well. So whilst it's unfortunate that it's come to this, I think this has just been, like, so amazing. Not many people get to say, like, they lived their childhood dream, and that's why I'm just so fortunate and grateful for this club, because they've given me that opportunity, and I think ultimately I got to do what I loved, and I think that's why I came to this decision.
And he spoke very well. Well done, Nathan. You delivered yourself with great respect, and I think the way you spoke there showed that you're comfortable with the decision. Played 57 games across six seasons on the Collingwood list, and was subbed out of last year's grand final victory after being concussed in that collision with Brisbane's Lincoln McCarthy. So there you go. We wish him the best. Only 24 years of age, and has had to pull the pin on his AFL career due to having 10 concussions. And for the benefit of life going forward, he's no doubt made the right decision based on medical advice. All right, the other big story for mine comes from India. And Travis Head blasted his second T20 century. He hit 102, did Travis Head, which was a huge effort in helping Pat Cummings' Sunrisers Hyderabad to a record score and an IPL victory. Head's second T20 100 after his dazzling New Year's Eve effort for the Adelaide Strikers in 2015 was the fourth fastest in IPL history, reaching the milestone of 39 balls. And his 102 was the launch pad for Hyderabad to make 3 for 287. That's off 20 overs. 3 for 287. Here are some of the highlights.
Goes straight this time. Pitched up. Goes all the way. An Angel One Super Six from Travis Head.
Ferguson, where now? And he's got Moose De Gea all the way. Oh, it's whistled. Travis Head has just got 50 himself inside the power play. Oh, fetch another. The Lear hostess on that one. It's big, that. No, oh, again and again and again. Travis Head has hit seven sixes to go with his four fours. He's only striking at 283.33.
Oh, hit into the gap, and that's four. So 100 for Travis Head. Oh, what a special innings this has been. Just off 39 deliveries. You beauty.
It's the fourth fastest in IPL history. That's how good this innings is.
Yeah, clear my front leg and slog it a little bit. So it's not the prettiest thing in the world. Never has been, but pleased with how I moved today and how I struck the ball. So a good day for me, but I don't have many of them.
Well, there you go. So they scored 287 for the loss of three wickets. They bettered their own IPL record of earlier this season of 3 for 277. Let's also remember that the crowds are fairly small in India, but still, off 20 overs, they scored 287. They only won by 25 runs. That's all they won by. The Royal Challengers Bengaluru recovered from 6 for 181 in the 15th over to finish at 7 for 262. Now, the two innings, that is 40 overs, produced 549 runs, easily the highest in IPL history. So there you go. And just before I go, let's just, Jai Cully, there was a text earlier today from Tony at Vic Park. I said I'd get back to you, Tony. He says, any news regarding Jai Cully's return to playing? He played in the WAFL side for the Eagles that were victorious last weekend against East Fremantle. Only picked up the 11 touches. So he is fit, but certainly you'd think he's a few weeks away, maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from getting to where the Eagles want him to be, and maybe fully fit, ready for an AFL return. And just looking at the Eagles' injury list, Oscar Allen is still noted with his knee 6 to 8 weeks. Rhett Bazzo, that groin, 5 to 6 weeks. Matt Flynn, who came here as the number one ruckman, has got that knee complaint, still listed at 4 to 5 weeks. The late out last week, Callum Jamieson, with that hamstring, will be confirmed whether he will miss and how much footy he will miss. And Elijah Hewitt, at the moment, looks like coming the post-bye. Hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been a good one. I enjoyed having a chat with Adrian Fletcher, and I enjoyed having a chat with Ross Peligra, the owner chairman of the Perth Glory, after being smacked for 8 goals last week by the Melbourne City, and today forcing the club to issue an apology to all the fans and members of the Perth Glory. Thanks very much to Connor Hazelby. Thank you very much, Jimmy Williams. That's it for me. See you tomorrow at 5.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolman, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.